Hello. You're listening to Heart of Mind, radio for the new millennium, a central source for health, consciousness, spirituality, and self-liberation. I'm Catherine Davis, and you're listening to the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And today we're going to explore some ideas as well as look into the state of our world and really get deeper in touch with how we can contend with it and really move to the other side of some of these challenges. And most importantly, I want to talk about the concept of the internet. We all know about the internet, which is all about technology and computing. But the internet is about our own interior, spiritual, biological network. And with that internet, we're going to be looking from the perspective of inner standing and looking at inner signs. One of the greatest difficulties, I believe, that we face right now is contending with what is going on in the world around us. And it really is quite complicated when we look at the chaos before us. But I believe that we can and that we must put all of this into perspective. So I'm going to start by looking at some of the Hopi prophecies, because I believe that what we are going through, what we're dealing with, what we are learning to understand has been predicted by many ancient civilizations. And so I wanted to go through some of these, the nine signs of the Hopi Indians, so that we can sort of look at these prophecies and understand that we're living during a time that is understood, that has been predicted, and in that we can understand that there is also a great solution. Now, the nine signs of the Hopi Indians. The first sign is we are told of the coming of the white-skinned men like Pahana, but not living like Pahana men who seven took the land that was not theirs, and men who struck their enemies with thunder. This is the second sign. Our lands will see the coming of spinning wheels filled with voices. In his youth, my father saw this prophecy come true with his eyes, and that was the civilization, the colonizers, bringing their families in wagons across the prairies. The third sign, a strange beast like a buffalo but with great long horns will overrun the land in large numbers. And these white feathers saw with his eyes, and this was the coming of the white men's cattle or the new cattle. This is the fourth sign. The land will be crossed by snakes of iron. And we all know that that is can be thought of as the railroad. The land shall be crisscrossed by a giant spider's web, and that is being said to be the internet. The land shall be crisscrossed with rivers of stone that make pictures in the sun. So this is really thought of as the roads and highways. You will hear the sea turning black and many living things dying because of it. And this is translated as oil spills. And you will see many youth who wear their hair long, like my people, come and join the tribal nations to learn their ways and wisdoms. And that is one of the last signs of the nine signs of the Hopi. And another interesting tradition of the Hopi is the one that's depicted on the prophecy stone. And this was It's a picture. You could look it up. You can search it on the internet, and you'll see a picture of these little figures, little people, and they look like stick figures, and they're moving into two different directions. And so it's interesting because the Hopi stone prophecy, it depicts the creator of the world far left on the stone, and beside him the circle of the world, which it was the Hopi's task to protect. In the creator's hand is held the two destinies humanity can choose, one that leads to a good resolution and one that leads to a dead end. And also in the stone, there are images that depict the people. And so the diverging point of the creator's path shows a time when some people would break away from the true path and go the way of falseness and wickedness. And, of course, some would take the righteous path. The path at the bottom represents the true path and the path of goodness. And so it's very interesting because I feel that we are indeed in this stage of our evolutionary process. And if you look at the Aztec Mayan prophecy, it's very similar in that they regard this current era as the fifth sun, I believe it is. So we're in the dawn of the fifth sun. And what that means essentially is that we've been through four previous incarnations or four previous civilizations. We're in the end of that fourth civilization, and now we're moving into the fifth. And so the fifth means that we have that opportunity to reach that transcendent state that really humanity came from. So the way I understand this is that humanity came in from the perspective of a very high civilization. Perhaps some people might think of it as fifth density, an octave above where we are now, which is third density. And so in fifth density octave is where I believe the place of Eden, referred to as Eden, or the birth of humanity, occurred. And as a result of various challenges, I suppose, humanity fell. But from my perspective, that means that they moved from that fifth density into third density existence, which is the realm that we have experienced for most of our known history, certainly. And so now that we're going through this transcendent period, which was represented by the end of the Mayan calendar, it was translated by the early archaeological figures who came to try to interpret that material, that the world was predicted to end in 2012. Well, actually, the truth of it is, and during that transition of 2012, the real meaning is that that was the point of that separation of densities, in which there was going to be a transformative period in which people would have an opportunity to choose which of these paths. And, you know, the Hopi, the Maya, the Aztec, the many ancient civilizations. You'll see it also in the traditions of India as well with the Yugas, that we're just moving into a very different time frame, which is really very, very rich with opportunities. But we do have a choice. We have the choice if we're going to go down the path of destruction and move into the path of ascendancy. So when we did reach that transition point around 2012, 2011 to 2013, it was a very intense point of choosing. And it is my understanding that that humanity overall, the greater proportion of humanity, which means a greater percentage than 50%, decided to take that more ascendant path. And as a consequence of the greater proportion of humanity deciding to take that ascendant path, that there was a forestalling of ultimate destruction as people might have believed would happen. And so we've been in this transition period, and it will continue. The Maya Aztec people are saying that we're in a transition phase that goes from 2012 to like 2025 or 2024, something in that neighborhood, where all of these decision points are going to be made. And I believe that what we are facing, especially in the public domain, in the political domain, is an effort, a serious effort. Of course, this was always taking place, but I believe it's even more intense right now, to keep humanity bogged down into thoughts and energies, feelings that are destructive, mostly self-destructive, but to be in fear, to be always worried about what's going on, to be drawn into base feelings of hatred and jealousy and competition. And I actually see a lot of what's going on right now as a manipulation. It's a manipulation. So when we look at the situation, say, in Charlottesville, where they had the conflicts of the so-called neo-Nazis with the so-called Antifa group, these are basically two extreme groups that came together in this city. And what makes me feel like it is a manipulation is because there was this call. It's the one fact that I can really see is that the police were prevented or told not to engage with the conflict, which leads me to believe that someone in the higher echelon of powers in that state, I don't know if it was local to the city or other, but I would gather that it probably comes from some of the larger behind-the-scene internationalist, corporate, globalist, cabal, whatever you want to call those folks who are manipulating the game. These are people who have spent lots of years, generations really, putting people into positions of power so that they would have that influence to be able to manipulate and play control games with humanity. And so I feel that it's a very high stakes game. So when I look at what happened in Charlottesville and I see that the police did not engage and all that violence ensued, I had to think that I had to believe the story that the police were told to stand down. And why would they be told to stand down if not to create a violent situation? And the purpose for creating that violent situation would be to create a larger antagonists where people are antagonized against each other, so that the left, far left becomes more entrenched, the far right becomes more entrenched, everyone is blaming each other, there's no open-heartedness, there's no sympathy, there's no compassion, there's just this conflict. And when it's delivered through the media, it's delivered into the energy field of all of the rest of humanity. We listen, we feel, we begin to experience. And then as more of humans are processing this, you're going to find a lot more individual conflicts where you're going to feel antagonism from the people in your life experience, because everyone is in some way being fed this energy. So I believe that a lot of what we're going through is being falsely put forth. You know, the endless call to war, the endless bombing, the endless fighting. And then even when we look at, if you look at what's happening here in America with these two extreme sides, we have to wonder if they aren't being fed economically, if they're not having plants of violent state actors in their groups. I mean, this is what happened to the Black Panthers. They started out as a community organization. Then the federal government, the FBI, sent in plants, people who would be agitators, and they convinced members of the Panthers, and they also did some of the things that ended up being criminal behavior in order to blow up and destroy that movement. So it's interesting how in our country, all of these tactics are usually tried out first within the vulnerable communities, say, and in our country historically, the Black American community has been the most vulnerable. So our movements have been blown up with all these kinds of forces going into them, and leaders have been assassinated, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. It's whom everybody knows. So a lot of the positive impulse within within the Black community has been destroyed. And then I began to see those same tactics that were used against the civil rights movement, you know, the water cannons, the dogs. And then in more recent times, I see those same tactics used against the water protectors who were trying to stop the pipelines. I saw the same tactics of violence used against the Occupy Wall Street movement, which came before that. And now I see these same tactics being used across the globe, really, in other kinds of immigrant protests. And so I see how these tactics are tried out in the vulnerable community, then expanded out into bigger communities. And as an aside, I just want to say this is why everyone really needs to check themselves and be more discerning when you see something happening in another community, to understand that there's something probably very much amiss in that situation. So what I'm saying is that also very often in these communities where you do see violence, we don't know that it's something that's being born of the community or if it's something that's being planted in the community. And so I think everyone needs to take a step back and really began to say, okay, what is really going on around us? Is there this concerted effort to push humanity in a toxic direction so that there's more conflict, more fighting? I hear a lot of instigators on the internet, on YouTube, talking about there's going to be a race war, there's going to be this, there's going to be that. And when we see our politicians endorsing hatred against specific groups, be they Muslim, be they Mexicans, be they Blacks, we all have to begin to really look at what's taking place here. And even looking at this whole political movement of let's make America great again, we can ask ourselves, well, what does that really mean? Great again. Was America ever great? And I know that it harkens back to the 50s and the 60s when there was a unit color presence here in the United States. Of course, there were always Black people and Indian Native American people and immigrants, and that was always here. But because of the way the country was set up in without having that integration, with people being isolated in small communities, then you had an opportunity for those people who considered themselves to be white or Caucasian to be completely isolated. So, you know, they would look around them, they would only see more of the same kind of people. The television is still largely like this, but back in the 50s, 60s, that's all that was on TV, that's all that was on the radio. If you wanted to listen to Black American music, you'd have to go to a Black station. If you wanted to see entertainment, you'd have to go into a Black neighborhood. So there was this separation. And it gave a false sense of security to the so-called white middle class. And because they were living in this illusion that everything was peachy, and they weren't paying attention to the fact that there was discrimination and there was violence and there was all kinds of things going on in other communities, and people were suffering in other communities. So I could see how it's easy for some to think about those times as when America was great. But I think, and I would definitely ask anyone who thinks that to really expand their perspective of what was really going on during those times. And we could even look back to the birth of the United States. You know, I was reading from the Hopi prophecy, but we have to understand that this nation was built on tremendous crimes, genocide of Aboriginal people in this country, slaving of Aboriginal people in this country, importing slaves from human beings from other continents, making them slaves. And so the country was born on theft and exploitation, and it continues to profit in that way by exporting that exploitation to other nations around the globe. So I don't think there's any going back to when America was great again. There's only really going forward. And I bring up the Hopi prophecy because we each have an opportunity to make this choice. Of course, I went into this rendition of what's going on in the world because I wanted to make clear to you that I'm understanding what you're seeing. I'm seeing what you're seeing, but I'm not succumbing to it, and I'm asking you to understand that you can sidetrack this chaos and proceed with this evolutionary transcendent process. And that's what I'm going to go into right now. You know, I have offered a few weeks ago a program in which I really went into the sort of the nuts and bolts of the basics of how to pull your energy out of the matrix. And now I'm going to be sharing with you how to go deeper and deeper into that transcendent state where you will not be so impacted by the chaos that we see around us. And with this, I'm moving into explaining what I meant in our introduction by the internet, inner standing, and inner signs. So the internet is coming to recognize that we have a spiritual web within us and a spiritual soul, sun, source. And if we can begin to recognize that by bringing our awareness, our consciousness into the interior of our body, and in that expression, as above, so within. So when we go in, it's like moving into a dimensional existence that is less dense than the 3D existence. So our inner spiritual conscious state at this very moment is already fifth density, seventh density vibration. So that means you are able to connect to each other through this internal space. You're able to connect with your higher self. You're able to connect with your soul, your primary soul, if you think of it that way. You're able to connect with the divine source, the divine wisdom, and the divine law. So we have a tremendous wealth of information and connectivity that is entered the portal, the gate, is inside of our own being. So, and this is really the power of going inward and doing that meditation. And meditation is really just giving yourself an opportunity to be quiet with yourself, to You could do it in nature. You could do it in a church. You could do it in a library. You could do it in your apartment. It really doesn't matter the surroundings, because we're talking about moving in an inward motion. And when we take our silence inward, we connect ourselves to that higher source vibration of information and inspiration. So we're already beginning to exist multidimensionally when we move into the internet. It is where we can gain access portals to traveling, taking the etheric and traveling to other dimensional realms, traveling to other places, other spaces, having actual visual and experiential connections. It works a lot like the dream space works. Only you're conscious, you're alive, you're awake, and you're allowing and moving yourself into other dimensional experiences. And we have assistance, of course, with this, because within us, we're also connecting to the various wisdom points of our lifetimes. So if you were a monk in a lifetime, if you were a warrior in a lifetime, if you were an athlete in one of your lifetimes, all of that you've learned and all of that wisdom from that lifetime is accessible to you through your DNA, through your internal internet. And you can connect with those powers, with those understandings, and with those abilities by going within. And so this is how we have the internet, which means that everything that we need is there. And the understanding is like, rather than understanding, being under the information, having it imposed upon us, we're inside of ourselves, where it's more of a deep well of wisdom that we're drawing upon. And I'll move into the direction of our inner signs, which means that it's just a recognition that we are being communicated with all the time, and that we can communicate all the time. So that the inner signs, in the most vague way, comes through as intuition. You'll get an intuition, well, I need to do this, or I need to do that. I need to turn left rather than turn right. I need to call this person right now to make the connection I need. These are intuitions, and this is because that beautiful inner net of creativity and consciousness has a much vaster reach in terms of understanding the synchronicities of life. And we get that through our intuition, but you could also go into a very direct communication, one-on-one with the higher self, one-on-one with the guidance of could be, if you connect with angels, it could be angels, archangels. If it's spirit guides, you can connect with spirit guides. If it's the ancestors, you can connect directly with the ancestors. And this connection comes through the inner creativity, but it flows deep into the realm of the pineal gland, where we have the inner capacity to envision ourselves, to envision our lives, and to have these experiences, which are completely real as what we see when our eyes open. Well, I would say even more real, but the experience of it is equally as real. And so these inner signs, if we begin to follow them, we will be assisted on this path as described by the Hopi, which is to take the path of goodness, take the path that's going to lead us to our evolutionary ascended growth, so that when we are through this passageway, this narrow passageway of chaos, we can emerge from that with a renewed and revitalized life expression. So it's not about disasters. It's not about living or dying, dropping the body, or any of that. We're talking about our waking, living experience through the madness of chaos as we move through this transitional period into the dawn of the fifth sun, as the Maya describe the coming age, when we will be free of the burden of chaos and negativity and this sort of enforced cap, the false matrix. So we're going to be able to choose. But how do we choose is the question. We don't choose by engaging in the same behaviors, by picking up our sticks and running out into the street and fighting with people. And that is true even in our daily lives. It's not by choosing to exploit and take advantage of the people in our lives. And it's not about unburdening ourselves by causing pain to another person. So when I say this, of course, I'm thinking about the purposeful behavior of some of these activities. I'm not talking about things happen and it isn't necessarily our intent, but, you know, things happen and we lose it from time to time. So it's important for us to understand that we're not talking about some doom and gloom religious-minded prophecy of judgment. No, that is something that has been implanted into our psyche and has been put on us by those who would want to perpetuate this domination and exploitation for personal gain. And that's not most of humanity. It's a small number. They say the 1%. And I do believe that it really is just about that 1%, 2% who are purposefully working to undermine the progress of humanity. So we're going to go next into actual understanding what is happening within our body. What does it really mean to have a body ascension? What are the physical changes that are going to have happen? What might we experience as the energies change and move and lift? And what, you know, how do we handle it? How do we feel about it? How can we go through these transitional stages without fear and trepidation, but to welcome it through that deep inner standing of what's happening, of these inner signs? So I want you to hang on for just a moment. We're going to take a break for a piece of music to breathe through. Just breathe and allow your body to calm down, allow your breath to lengthen, and allow your awareness to flow inside. Feel the breath, feel the chest opening, feel the ribs opening, feel the heart beating, feel the solar plexus, feel into your abdomen, and just feel what kind of tension you're holding in your body, in your back, and just breathe into it. Just keep breathing, relaxing, just breathe it out, blow out any tension. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about more specific things to understand about this transitional process. So hang on and we'll be back in just a moment.
Yeah.
You're listening to Heart of Mind, a radio for the new millennium, a central source for health, consciousness, spirituality, and self-liberation. I'm Catherine Davis, and today we're having a conversation about ourselves with regard to the internet, inner standing, and inner signs. So, in our first segment, we spoke about this in context of what's happening in the world around us. So now, after you've been breathing for a few minutes and relaxing with a little bit of tunes, a little music, I want you to just relax and think about as we go forward. Now, I want to start this by giving you a little information about what I've been experiencing. So I have always been a mystical person. I didn't quite understand it as a child, but as I got older, I began to understand that I was capable of having what one might call visions, or what one might call prophecies, or what one might call just being able to experience this multidimensional reality in ways that most people who go full tilt into the matrix for their survival needs might not have had an opportunity to pay attention to. But because I am an artist and writer, I do healing work, I do energy work. So it's kept me, as I got older, in the realm of the magnificent and in the realm of the extended spiritual understanding, understanding. So I have been having these vision quests and having these spiritual travel experiences as well as interactive experiences for many years. And it really just started to get more intense, more active, more vivid as we moved into this transitional period of between around the year 2012. And so after a lot of this, it began to culminate really in having actual interactions, conversations, processing of past live experiences, of wounding that I held in my body or in the DNA, you know, through remembering some of these things and exposing and processing the fears, then we have a tremendous release from that fear. But also what we gain is, as I was saying earlier, we gain access to the wisdom of that lifetime, to the guidance provided from that lifetime. So I've had a long series of these events, and I began to engage much more directly with whom I characterize as my higher self and my guardian angel. So we have many guides, angels, and ancestors, and they may very well all be the same being, interchangeable. They may be us from past experiences or some part of our soul group. But we're surrounded by a tremendous amount of guidance and help. So for those of you who think you're alone, it's not true. You are quite well supported by a legion of higher realm guides and people who assist you. I call them people because they seem like people to me. At any rate, I had an experience. I started having experiences where I would do deep meditations, go into a deep meditative state, and then I would be able to have these interactions from this meditative state. And I had one experience where I was actually bathing. I do this a lot while bathing because I find the water to be very fluid, dimensionally fluid. And so I was advised by my, in this interaction, that I really needed to You know, because my body, something was going on in my body. My temperature was rising. My heart was beating. So I was advised to get up and just pour cold water on myself, which I did. I got up, poured cold water. And then, you know, I just went to lay down. But my heart was starting to pound quite a bit. And so I went to lay down, and then I was advised that I should turn off all the electricity, unplug all electrical devices. So I unplugged everything, including the fridge. I'm used to following guidance, so it was not hard to do. And then I, you know, my heart just started getting pounding more and more and more until it was so intense that I could even feel my body. It wasn't just the heartbeat, but I could feel my whole body pulsing with the heartbeat, and it was getting stronger and stronger. And so I was kept asking as going along, well, you know, am I having a heart attack? Am I dying? What's going on? And I was counseled that it was fine, that I should just go with it and breathe with it. So I decided to do that. I went with it, and I breathed with it, and it just became so intense that I ultimately went through a transitional experience, a physical transitional experience, where my whole body in many ways kind of, I won't say ignited into anything flammable, but I ignited in a way that where I lost touch with physical reality. And it was almost like I was just energy in space. And so everything was dark around me, and I just experienced myself as energy. And then as my awareness began to focus, I immediately saw this star that I understood was me. And so I had this experience, and it was like very intense, and then I kind of immediately came back into my body space, into the interior of the room space. And I was like, what the hell was that? But certainly for me, physiologically, it was very real. And, you know, when you have these experiences, sometimes you're like, well, was this all in my mind, or was it physical? Was it actual? And I'm really blessed because I live with two cats, and very often they confirm for me that something is going on. So if I'm feeling that there's, I'm speaking or engaging with a being of another dimension, my cats will be looking at this, you know, they will be aware of this being. Or if something is going on, they're very much aware of it. And that's another story, because they actually clean the energies around me. When I came back to myself after this experience, I looked around, and my cats were terrified. One was hiding behind the refrigerator, poor little thing with his little head hiding in the refrigerator. The other one was like in another room. So I got up, and they wouldn't come to me initially. They were really frightened by the experience. And so it led me to understand that something tangible had occurred, at least tangible enough for these cats who can see energy to have witnessed that experience. So it was a very real experience in which I moved from third dimension through some kind of heart-based energetic portal, in which I moved into this sort of this light expression, and then was able to come back into myself. Now, it sounds fantastic, I know, but this is probably the first time I'm sharing it publicly, but this is something that I want to share with all of you, because this is something that some of you may begin to experience, something like this. Your experience will undoubtedly be different than mine if you do experience it, or maybe you won't experience it something with intensity as I experience it. But we have to understand that as our field, the energy of the planet is lifting vibrationally to an higher octave. So we won't be living on a planet that is in third dimensional octave. You'll be living on a planet of fifth dimensional or seventh dimensional octave at some point. So what's happening is the vibrations in our planet are lifting. And you can do research about changes in the resonance field, about energies coming from the center of the galaxy being spurred out, energy waves coming through into the planet. And so you can look and see that there are actual tangible evidence that there are great changes taking place in our realm, this third dimensional realm. And there are great changes taking place in our bodies. Many of us have been experiencing some of these ascension symptoms, which are, it's because the body itself is physically transmuting. More strands of DNA are coming online, and our body is changing its substance so that it can be less dense and vibrate at a higher level. And you can compare this to being in your dream state again. If you're in your dream state, your body's laying down sleeping. In your dream state, you're walking around in what feels like your body. It's because our body exists at these various levels of density even now. And so what's happening is that dream self is a real part of you. And we are living through a period in which these levels of being are integrating with each other, are integrating. So our physical body has to be able to operate at a much higher frequency in order to be able to have this path of higher frequency. So when we're looking at the Hopi legend and when we're looking at the prophecies of ancient peoples, when they talk about this age that we are entering in, we're talking about an age in which we will be living in a higher frequency. And so for those of us who wish to move through this as a living experience of moving into the higher density experience, the will be much lighter beings, not necessarily look any different, but there'll be more vibration, more space in the particles of our being. There'll be more energy. So there'll be less dead weight in the body, and we'll just have this more advanced existence. And so it's really a great time of grace in this transitional period between 2012 and 2025, where we're learning, where our bodies are gradually evolving, and where, on a spiritual level, we're gradually moving into a state of deeper inner standing and deeper inner connectivity. So it's inner connectivity in the sense that we can connect with our deeper self, we can connect with each other, we can connect with the divine world, we can reach into the creative force of all existence, but only by going within. And that gives us the motivation to seek out that path of going into the space of our deeper self. And because we are in this process. And what we are being asked to choose is not to necessarily create something outside of ourselves, but to cooperate with the process that is already happening in our existence. It's according to these ancient laws of the universe. They're divine laws, ancient laws that have been given to us by the indigenous Aboriginal populations of the earth have given us a great deal of wisdom to flow by. And they've given us these predictions on the calendars of timing so that we can understand that we are in this period. There might be variations from culture to culture, but they all pretty much tell us we're in this space right now. And so what we're being called to do is to cooperate with this evolutionary process, that to understand that what our physical bodies are going through may be as a result of this transformative process. So as not to panic about it. I'm not saying that we shouldn't go to the doctors. If we feel a need to, we should. That we shouldn't get our blood checked and all, you know, go the whole nine yards to just see what state your body is in to know what you need to do to take care of it. It might be that you do need to shift your diet, or you do need to take care of your body, move and exercise more. It may be that you need to engage in some kind of meditation process or gentle movement, relaxation process like yoga or qigong or Pilates, something that you resonate with, but begin to really move through that path of caring deeply for your body. I was in a conversation recently, and really what this person was saying is that the body itself is the home of the spirit. You know, this is your church, your tabernacle, your divine space. This is where your spirit and your soul reside. So we need to take care of this body and allow it to move gently through this transitional process. But also, we have to understand that we have this inner net, this inner connection that we can reach to get assistance and guidance in how we can negotiate our outer world. So I want you to begin to really understand that there is this inner space that we can do this connection, that we can be guided through this transition, and that we can actually receive very tangible assistance in the process. And when we connect directly into the vibration, see, this is the important thing, and this is why I feel that the energy work is very important, is that you want to exist in a vibration that's going to be supportive in this environment. So that means if you are dealing with feelings of resentment or fear or sorrow or hate, surrender those feelings and ask for guidance in allowing that energy to be dissolved, and do the work of getting back into or finding for yourself this inner balance, this inner peace, this inner awareness that is going to sustain and sort of hold your vibration. So what I'm saying is that when your energy is all outside of your body, that whatever is going on inside of you will begin to control your vibrational frequency. And that's what you can think of as the false matrix. All the garbage that's going on the outside has energy attached to it that will penetrate into your field and begin to control your feelings, begin to bring up all of the old wounds, all of the old hurts, all of the old hates. And then tie it into that energy that you have in you, tie it into what's happening in the world so that you can become triggered more easily into the experiences of projecting. So you'll notice when people, even in the media, you'll notice people who are angry, angry, angry. They seem like such nice people. Even said that, right? So they're nice people because they're human beings, and yes, they love their family and they care about things that they care about, but they're willing to project all their anger, frustration, angst, fear onto another person, onto another kind of person. Well, I'm good and loving, but the reason I'm not safe, it's because it's those Arabs, or it's because of those Negroes, or it's because of those, you know, Latinos, or it's because of those, you know, whatever. There's always been a whatever. There's always been a somebody to project those frustrations onto. But that's what happens when you allow your divine energy to plug into the false matrix. You'll immediately be drawn into that conflict of the moment. So we have to give a lot of attention and a lot of weight to the need to detaching from that, going into our inner being and working with what's going on inside of ourselves, healing what's going on inside of ourselves, maintaining a higher vibration so that whatever negativity or old wounding or old ideology is in us will dissolve in the face of this higher vibrational realm. So just by maintaining that connection to the higher vibrational energy, it will help us to dissolve the old, and it will keep us in tune with moving along this ascendant path of evolutionary path. So it means that we need to be in a state of peace as much as possible, joyfulness as much as possible, loving and caring and compassionate as much as possible. You know, it looks like we're doing it for the other guy, but we're doing it as much for ourselves, even more for ourselves. Because when we can maintain that state, then we can walk through the world, and this is what it means to be in the world but not of it. It means that we're connected to this vibrational ascendancy, we're connected to the human evolution so that we become the forerunners, we become the standard bearers, we become the, you know, we're holding that space for everybody to walk through this path of vibrational ascendancy. So for those of us who can do it, we can do it. For those of us who are working on it, let's work on it. And we can hold the space for all of our friends and family who have yet to make that path. So I want to thank you. You've been listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I'm Catherine Davis, and you can connect with me in many ways. I do an ongoing energy healing class every Saturday at 2:30. I offer Qigong at Studio Maya in Brooklyn. Every month, we have a spiritual support group, the third Wednesday of the month. That's also in Brooklyn at Shinana Yoga. We also have things going online, websites. You can find out and connect to all that by going to our webpage, Heart of Mind Radio at prn.fm. You'll find all the links on the archive page. Stay tuned. Take care. More programming, great programming coming up over the Progressive Radio Network, prn.fm. If you have any questions, drop me an email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. That's heartofmindradio@gmail.com. If you would like to leave a message, a phone message, you can call 347-480-1694, 347-480-1694. I offer classes as well as consultations, private consultations, hands-on body work, energy work. I do a lot of work in this field. I'm more than happy to work with you and engage with you in ways that will bring about a transformation for all of us and for our world. Because as we transform, we hold the space for all of humanity to move into the higher density. The news is good. Remember, everyone is choosing to do better. It's just that some of us need help to get there. So be compassionate, be loving, and be patient. And this is Catherine Davis. Stay tuned and join again on Saturday at 6 p.m. to tune into our next program. Be blessed and bye for now.